morning. Welcome to the Community Calendar. I'm Jazzy. And in the studio with me, I have founder of Women Called Moses, Deborah Nixon Bowles. Good morning.
Good morning, Jazzy.
Thank you so much.
I'm excited about being here.
Yes, thank you so much for coming in. And this is my first time meeting you, so it is a pleasure. And I really want to talk about your organization, Women Called Moses, and why you decided to start this organization.
The reason I started this organization, I am a survivor of domestic violence. And I noticed as being a survivor, I found out that domestic violence is still taboo. This is something people still don't want to talk about. Also, it's an area that affects all of us, whether we want to talk about it or not. And I notice a lot of professional women are still ashamed about, you know, what happened to them as a victim of domestic violence. So I wanted to break the silence and make a difference in my family and my community about taking off the mask and no longer being silent, whether I don't feel good about it, or my family might be ashamed, or even my church, even my friends might be ashamed that I'm really talking about it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't want to talk about it, but I want women to know it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to get the help. And so back in 2005 is when I launched off Women Called Moses. Mm-hmm. And so we've been around since 2005, working mostly in the southern sector, which is Lancaster, Duncanville, Cedar Hill, parts of Oak Cliff, Waxahachie, and Grand Prairie. So those are some of the areas that we get to work in and servicing victims.
Where did you get that name from?
I know a lot of people, it is so strange that you asked that question. Honestly, one time I was just watching the movie Harriet Tubman, and her life story was so similar to me, the way God touched me and began to show the vision to me in dreams and things that I had been through. And the way he showed me with Women Called Moses that it was going to be an underground railroad system and set up for domestic violence. And now in 2013, I see why, because there are so many women that cannot, when they do escape, they do have to go underground because perpetrators are trying to murder them, whether it's their husband or the boyfriend. It used to be, oh, he scratched me, I scratched him, he hit me, I hit him back. But no, it has gone to another level. Never is abuse acceptable. But right now, because people never thought that domestic violence would take a toll like this in our community.
Right. You mentioned that you were a victim of domestic violence. What were some of those signs that you knew, like, hold up, this ain't right. I need to get out and leave this situation.
One thing that I remember that always stick out with me is control, that control spirit, telling me what I could wear, I couldn't wear, controlling the funds, not even being around your family members. You know, a lot of times when the holidays would come, no, we're not going there. We're going to spend Christmas at home. And a lot of times you're talking to your family like, no, we're going to spend Christmas here. But in reality, you want to spend time with your family. But by the time you come back home, there's always a fight that takes place before you leave or when you return, because a lot of times a perpetrator figure you trying to escape or you telling his business what's going on in his household. So one thing that I do remember is that every time there was a holiday that we would fight, and then you put your mask back on, you talk to your family members like everything is hunky-dory, everything is fine, but it really wasn't fine. And the thing that I remember the most was not making me feel good about myself. He always made me feel like that I was ugly, or, you know, I was dumb, I was stupid, or the name calling. And a lot of times when they push you or get in your face, you think that's acceptable. Like, he didn't really hit me.
It was a little push.
Yeah, it was just that little push, you know. And back then, I'm not going to tell my age, but I will say back in the days, a lot of times you never heard the word or the phrase domestic violence. You always heard me and my husband got into it, and my boyfriend, had a fight. He went back home. I stayed a couple nights at my mom or my sister, and we went back, and everything was hunky-dory. And so it went on. That's why it's a vicious cycle.
What happened that made you say, that's it, I'm done, I'm getting away, I'm done with you? And what steps did you take to get away and be free?
I really, be honest with you, Jazzy, it was very fearful leaving, and I was still dealing with being ashamed. But the thing that got me the most was I had hit rock bottom. I didn't know nowhere else to turn or what to do. I was dealing with depression. I started drinking. I started popping like Tylenol. I would take 3 and 4, or I would ask my friends, you have something for a headache? Give me 2. Or, you know, I go out and I drink, and we're supposed to be having fun. I want 2 kamikazes. I want 2 Long Island iced tea.
Trying to drown that pain.
Oh, yeah, trying to suppress the pain, and like, okay, let me get a little buzz, and then I go home and I can can fight. I can handle this, or I'll just go to sleep. And I saw the effect that my child, I saw it took a toll on my son. Knowing at nighttime screaming, fussing and cussing, trying to go to school. He was trying to go to school. And that one last time he beat me pretty bad. And it got to the point, it was like, okay, either he gonna kill me or I'm gonna kill him. And even today, you know, I don't really like talking about him. I try to talk about how to help victims, letting them know not to be silenced, because, you know, sometimes even a perpetrator, it can be 20 years. If they figure you trying to pull out some skeletons, they'll come back and retaliate, you know, retaliation. And that's what a lot of women fear for their lives, that they'll come back and say, oh, you trying to make me this bad guy. You trying to write a book and you putting my life story in there. So, you know, you even have to be careful with that, because a perpetrator is a perpetrator.
Right. And, you know, the reason I even ask you this is because there are people listening and they probably going through your same story
every day
that you just got through talking about, and I'm looking at you now, successful. You ain't got a bruise on your face. You got money. You good. You know, you're stable. Your kids are fine. And so people can look at your story and say, I can be like that too.
Oh, they do. And you know, a lot of times, a lot of professional women, they'll call and say, hey, don't tell anyone. I just want to talk to you. I'm not ready to leave him. I'm a CEO of this company or that company, but he beats me at night. He has a lot of power, my husband. I just want to talk to you. Or they'll say, you know, if something happened to me, please know that it was my husband that did it. Or a lot of times they say, please don't let my children go into CPS. I know I'll never be able to leave him. And a lot of times they don't leave because of the power. You know, I have a lot of women that call me that are Christians. They're married to pastors. And they figure if I tell, they're going to say I'm evil. I'm the devil. I have an evil spirit. Because
they're going to attack
her.
Yeah,
most definitely. They're always going to say she's the bad person. In reality, these women here figure it's no escape. They can't leave. And that's why I want to break the silence by letting women know we have to talk about it. We have to be about it. And no, domestic violence don't have a color. But when you're in the trench, I'm in the trenches. That's what sets me apart from any other agency as an executive director. I'm actually in the trenches. I see the need. I get whips on my back because I'm in the trenches. It's not like getting a bruise on my shoulder. I take a lot of beatings for standing up for victims of domestic violence because, you know, being an African-American agency, however I service anyone, I don't care if you black, blue, purple, or what, I will service you. However, 95% of my victims are African-American and the rest are Hispanics. So I see the needs. You know, a lot of my women come in, they have 3 to 4 kids, you know, different baby daddies. Some of them have drug problems. You know, all that intertwines together. I feel their pain. I know what they up against. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be judged. You know, a lot of times you try to go to court and they say, well, we didn't see any bruises. Like me, I'm chocolate. So when my husband would beat on me, you couldn't see the bruises or the bruises wouldn't show up to 2 or 3 days later. A lot of times women are so fearful, they forget to take pictures. And I always tell women, when you get a bruise on you, take some kind of pictures. Get a camera. Just take the pictures. Keep them. And I often tell them, the text that you receive, save your text when they're threatening you. And a lot of times women, but when fear rises up on you, this is the thing. I remember when I got my last beating, I was so fearful. I just thought I was going to, he was just going to kill me. That was it. I wasn't going to see my family again. And that was it. And I was like, I dare not tell anyone, because if I tell, I'm going to come up dead. So that's why I work with victims, letting them know that we got to get you in another city or state, or we have to get you with a legal team to support you, but just have a plan. And I honestly, I see these women every day. We have women today living in their vehicles because there's such a shortage for shelters in our city. We make it sound good, but we all know funding plays a huge part keeping the doors open in any type of foundation or nonprofit. And today is very difficult because you have to understand the people that make the decision, a lot of them are perpetrators. Or it becomes political.
Yeah, you know, and I want to touch on that. And if you're just now tuning in, I'm speaking with Deborah Nixon Bowles. She is the founder of Women Called Moses. It's a domestic violence organization here in Dallas serving the southern sector. And how many shelters are in those areas? And when they take in women, how long can they stay? Give me some details about that.
Okay, in the southern sector, unless it changed last night, There's no full shelters in the southern sector. And a lot of people get the southern sector confused with the southern. South Dallas, more like the south.
Okay, like okay, MLK.
The south,
okay.
MLK, mm-hmm. the south mm-hmm. and the southern sector. So I'm talking about the southern sector again, which is Lancaster, Duncanville, Cedar Hill, you have Waxahachie, mm-hmm. even parts of Grand Prairie, and some parts of Dallas. Mm-hmm. So in those areas, there's no shelters. We only have one that I know in Grand Prairie, which is Brighter Tomorrow. Brighter Tomorrow used to have a full shelter in DeSoto, Texas, mm-hmm. but that was about 5 years ago, and it was a lack of funding. And since then, there has not been a full shelter. However, Women Call Moses has been out there since 2005, but we're a mobile service provider. We just try to put the women in a safe place. We provide food, legal counsel, and we also provide counseling. We have teamed up with counselors and other agencies. If a victim calls me right now, what happens is I do an intake over the phone, mm-hmm. and I work with other shelters like Brighter Tomorrow, Family Place, Genesis, and one I work very closely with is Family Place with Teresa Little and Deborah Mitchell, which have been in the trenches for like 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. So when I get a victim, I call and say, look, I'm going to put her in a hotel for 7 days. Do y'all have any beds available? She'll say no. I say, can we get her in somehow, some way? Just call me and let me know when there's a bed available. They'll tell us to tell the victims to call on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So even though I paid for her a hotel for 7 days, it's her responsibility to call every day to find out if there's availability. And also, we have counselors that go to the hotel until we can place her in a full shelter.
Let me get this straight. You're calling other shelters trying to place these women and they're turning them away.
Almost definitely. It happens because a lot of times if they don't have anywhere for them to go, they say, well, we don't have no availability. Call so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, we've already called. We'll keep calling on a daily basis. And that's when they call me back. And I'll say, okay, well, we'll put you in a hotel. Okay, well, if we put her in there in 7 days and she have nowhere else to go and there's no more funding and nowhere, that's how a lot of women end up homeless or living in their vehicles or they go back to the perpetrator.
That's exactly my thought is that, and they have kids. So these shelters that are here for these women to get away from this person that could kill them, could kill the whole family or that you right. see on the news and all this other stuff, they won't even take them in.
No, because if they don't have nowhere to place them, then no. And a lot of times, I would love to have a couple of the women that are survivors to come on your show and talk to you about their experience and how long it took them to get in a shelter. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, people might get angry at me, but I'm going to make it real and I'm going to say this for the listeners. We, two shelters, what shelters come to mind when we say domestic violence shelters?
I know of Genesis and Family Place.
Right. And that's all you hear about, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we've been around since 2005. Now, we do have a house that we do put victims in, but it's not secure enough. So we cannot just leave victims in there. So we have to put them in a hotel and work with other shelters. However, if we could get the funding that we need for the southern sector, then we could get a facility. There's a property that Women Call Moses want to purchase right now in the southern sector mm-hmm. in a good location. No one can find this location. I hope not. But it's a real safe location that we would love to purchase to help these victims to stay in at least 90 days. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times these victims, they go back because you got to understand, they know the system. They know how it works.
It's and like, they know they're going to get rejected.
Exactly. And I try to, even with Mayor Rawlins, he's doing a great job. He can't do it by himself. I admire Mayor Rawlins for speaking out in our city about domestic violence. However, I want Mayor Rawlins to know, our councilmen, our ministers, our leaders to know that we need more funding in that southern sector.
You really do, because what happens to those women that live in Lancaster and Waxahachie and all those areas that you named? What if they don't have transportation to get all the way over to North Dallas?
There you go.
I mean, they need something a little bit closer. What if their kids and their school, everything is over in the southern sector and you want these people to just pack up and leave and then you won't even give them a guarantee if they can even stay?
There you go.
It's just overwhelming. And it's, how many people live in the southern sector?
Oh, honey, I don't know the exact numbers, but I will tell you this. Women Call Moses get an average of 45 to 50 calls a day.
That's a lot of calls.
Yes, that is a lot of calls. And a lot of times, you know, we get a lot of hangups. Now, you got to understand, a lot of cases don't even make you, so you can just imagine. That's why when they ask for statistics, just think about all the cases that don't get reported. You know, a lot of times we get the calls, they hang up, they fearful when you get to talking about leaving, mm-hmm. and they'll say, okay, well, where I'm going to go once I stay there 90 days? Okay, if a woman has a criminal background, anything on her background, felony,
it's hard
for her to get an apartment. You have to deal with those issues. If she have a drug problem, If she's on TANF, she's not had her dress for 90 days, her stuff been cut off, any type of service that she've gotten in the past.
And, you know, something to address is, even though somebody is on drugs or they have problems on their record and things like that, they still don't deserve to get beat.
And I often say that. They don't. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Some of the women, I had a lady to come in, her husband poured hot grease all over her back.
She still don't deserve
it. You see
that.
What I'm saying? When she came in, she had a dirty UA. But I probably would have a dirty UA. I mean, when I say dirty UA, I don't know, self-medicating. Sometimes when you don't have the funds and you on the run, you've been burned, you'll just pop a pill.
Trying to escape.
Yeah, just trying to escape. Mm-hmm. So how can we turn these women away? That's what I do love about Women Call Moses. I'm not the one that like to counsel people on a spiritual because I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to tell anyone that. These women need hope.
Yeah.
They need help.
I agree with you 100%. We're going to take a quick break. More on the community calendar coming up next.